Good evening, everybody. Welcome. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the regular meeting of the Oceano Community Services District for Wednesday, May 22nd. Want to read our statement of civility. For the benefit of the community, the Oceano Community Services District asks that you follow the board meeting guidelines while attending board meetings and treat everyone with respect and dignity. This is done by following meeting guidelines set forth in state law and board policy. Disruptive conduct is not tolerated, included but not limited to addressing the board without first being recognized, interrupting speakers, board members, or staff, continuing to speak after the allotted time has expired, and failing to relinquish the podium when directed to do so, and repetitiously addressing the same subject. So that being said, I welcome you all here, and would you please call the roll, Ms. Cassiola?
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Here.
And President Barney?
Here. Please join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any agenda review items?
No.
President Barney, members of the board, we've provided two handouts. One is for item 8B, the other for item 8E. One is the minutes of May 6th, the other is the minutes of May 13th. We have a red line version handout on the back counter, and they both state that Director Gibson was absent, which is incorrect. She was present. They were just carried over from the May 3rd meeting, which was right before that. So when we come to that time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations as modified.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Schultz, closed session report.
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, council met in closed session on four different items. It was a conference with property negotiator regarding the fire divestiture. It was regarding public employment of the general manager and the district legal counsel. And the last item was conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water District litigation. As to all those items, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. We'll now move to public comment on matters not on the agenda. Any person that wants to speak is welcome to do so. You're limited to 3 minutes. This is the little timer that's right here. Goes green, caution, and then red. And I'll call you to stop if you go past the red. Ms. Tacker?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I wanted to address a subject that came up at a previous meeting in public comment brought to you by a citizen about the conduct of the audience. And he also wrote a letter. I was able to read that letter, wrote a letter to your board, said that he had actually called the police or sheriff's department about the behaviors in the back of the room, and insinuated that having a sheriff in the room would make the audience conduct themselves in a different or maybe more polite manner. That may be the case. I think having a uniformed officer does put us all psychologically in a place where we want to be better. But what the author of the writer and the speaker said, the sheriff does not have any authority over the conduct of your meetings. He can only uphold the laws of the state. And whether you have these policies that you read tonight, that's not within his wheelhouse. And he can't arrest someone unless you start to go through the process of warnings, shutting the meeting down. There is a process in which you can ask someone to be removed from a meeting. But just having the sheriff here does not accomplish that unless you start that process. So I just wanted to, if that person is listening tonight or watches the replay, let him understand that police presence doesn't just happen. Having that person, having a police presence in the room, a uniformed officer, I think does change our behavior a little bit, because we want to be on our best behavior. But the particular instance that occurred, that individual who wrote the letter was the loudest of the outbursts. There had been some whispering between myself and another person, and he was distracted by it, and rather than ask us to, I don't know how he even heard us, but there was some whispering. But rather than indicate that we were bothering him, there was an outburst. So just wanted to kind of clarify that and hope that, I hope it doesn't happen again, but it could. So thanks so much.
Thank you. Next speaker is Kim Rose.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Okay. So my name is Kim Rose, as stated, and I am a resident of Oceano and a taxpayer here. And I've been around the community talking to different folks in the area. And the conversations we've had is that a lot of people are concerned about this district. The district is good at starting projects, but not finishing them. Here are some examples. Time, energy, and unnecessary drama spent on a proposal annexation with Rover Beach. Hours spent by the interim manager for fire services with the county because of the failed tax measure. Excessive and unnecessary legal fees, and now we are on our third manager in about as many months. Although I personally support anything having to do with schools, including a walking track, but is this the role the district has? Or is it a waste of time for staff and tax dollars? If a director would like to spend money and support schools, then it is his or her business, not the business of a district. Shouldn't the district be focused on key responsibilities for Halcyon and Oceano first? On such things as public safety, fire protection, sewer services, water services, and street lighting. If the board chooses to continue to spend money and resources on non-core items, then I would suggest that we add an additional item in your line expense report and give credit where credit is due. And let's call it a Varney tax. Thank you.
Are there any more speakers on public comment for items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will close public comment and we will move to special presentations and reports, beginning with our substitute sheriff officer, Mr. Hernandez.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Senior Deputy Hernandez, and I'm with San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office. In the month of April, we had 304 calls for service. Within those calls, there was 23 disturbances, two reports of burglary, four regarding thefts, seven vandalisms, one mail theft, 29 agency assists, three related to suspicious circumstances. We had seven suspicious subject calls, one related to a suspicious vehicle. We conducted 34 enforcement stops and had 15 arrests. Additionally, we conducted a cleanup with the railroad along 4th Street. So those are some of the big pivotal things that occurred, so thank you for your time.
hang out for a minute, Mr. Hernandez. Yes. Are there any questions or comments from directors?
Not I.
Mm-hmm. No. Any from the public? I just had one. I noticed that the houseless encampments along this, the railroad tracks have been moved, or those folks have been, have left and it's been cleaned up. Because I walk the levee almost every day, I have a relationship with some of the people that are living down there. And so most of those people have relocated into the Willow Forest, kind of beginning at Delta Street where it hits the levee and then to the west. And I just wondered if there's, do you know if, are there any services, or is your, you aren't the community action officer, are you?
I'm not the community action officer, but I do assist with a lot of the activities that he's associated with. And actually today we were out there providing resources and identifying subjects out there and trying to direct them towards Five Cities Homeless Coalition or within other services available. We worked with Fish and Wildlife today to identify any other issues related to factors out there. But the goal is to provide these folks with resources and do all that we can to help them.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Have okay. Okay, thank you. Our Five Cities Fire Operations, Chief Scott Hallett. Welcome, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Not a lot to update you on from the last meeting. I just did want to reiterate to the listening audience, we will be beginning state-mandated inspections next week. This is in accordance with Senate Bill 1205, as well as a second round of weed abatement inspections. That list of weed abatement non-compliance will be going to the Fire Board on June 4th, with another special meeting scheduled later in June for a protest hearing. We're still optimistic the Oceano contract extension, as well as the contract with the county, will go to the Fire Board as well on June 4th. Once the it is approved by the board, then we'll be awaiting LAFCO's decision sometime in the fall is what we anticipate. And as far as our call volume, year-to-date for the Fire Authority, 1,846 calls, which is a 7% increase from the same period in 2023, with 291 calls for service in Oceana.
What was that period for?
That's year-to-date, calendar year-to-date, 1,846 calls, and which is 7%.
For year-to-date, it's 291 in Oceana?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any questions or comments from directors?
No.
Mr. Hallett, could you, you may not be in a position to be able to do so, but I'm curious, over the last, many months, we have basically been living with Oceano Fire and Emergency Medical Services coming from either Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach, because our Oceano station hasn't really been operable. What can you say about the differential in general of response times to fire emergency medical issues in Oceano over the last year compared to when the Oceano station was in operation? How significant is the difference, if there is a significant difference?
Well, it's obviously a difference in response times. Our average response time right now for the Fire Authority is around 6.5 minutes. With our times to meet the 90th percentile is up around 8.5 minutes. And so that's ultimately our goal, is to be within that 6 minutes 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting really deep into our data, which we did have some software changes, it's hard to extrapolate out. And because, of course, even when the Oceano station was open, it was limited staffing. It wasn't all the time. So it's hard to compile all that data when it wasn't consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely an impact not having a station here on response times.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there any questions from the community for the chief? Okay. Seeing none, thank you, Chief Hallett.
Thank you. Yes, have a good evening.
Mm-hmm. Next, we'll hear the from our Operations and Utility System Manager, Mr. Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. For the past 2 weeks, we have had our weekly and monthly samples. We had five work orders, nine USAs, seven customer service calls. We had one after-hours call-out that was for a sewer issue on Paso Robles Street, and that was actually on private property. We are continuing to do our sewer jetting to sewer jet the entire system. We hosted a prep class for treatment. It was here at the boardrooms, a two-day prep class, so one of our employees could attend it for free, and it was put off by Cal Rural Water Association. And after that two-day class, we had him take a tour at the Lopez Water Treatment Plant so he could see the entire process of water treatment and a little bit more hands-on so he could visually see it. And after that, we had meter reads. Once meter reads was complete, we had re-reads for high, low consumption and leak notifications to the customers that had leaks. We did get notified on all our properties for weed abatement, and we did take care of that Monday and Tuesday of this week. The Tank 2 project is going very well. They are currently sandblasting it and getting it prepped ready for paint. I just want to let everybody know the CCR, the Consumer Confidence Report, will be mailed out and posted on our website in this next up-and-coming bill. It is Public Works Week, and a few of the field staff will be attending the Farmers Market in San Luis Obispo with one of the service trucks and a booth. And currently Lopez is at 100%, and it is not spilling. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
What color will the tank be? The same?
We are currently trying to match the existing million-gallon tank. It's kind of like a sand color.
Sand, yeah.
It's going to be relatively close to that, even though that paint was from 1978. So we'll get it as close as we can.
Okay. May I make a comment, President Barney? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to give a shout-out to our guys. It's Public Works Week, and we have the finest and nicest. And so that is Tony Maricino and our field staff. He's operations manager. Our field staff, Jason Carlisle, Doug Sparling, and Andreas Mendoza Mendez.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. We'll now go to Board of Directors and outside committee reports. I don't have anything to report tonight. Vice President Joyce Senneson?
No, nothing to report.
Director Austin?
Nothing.
Director Gibson?
Yes, I had a Zone 3 meeting on last week, and we discussed, we postponed cloud seeding for another year. No surprise there. And Lopez was spilling, I guess, a few days ago, but I guess finally it stopped, so we're not losing stored water anymore. And financially, Zone 3 is still within their budget, and that's my report.
Okay, thank you. Director Villa?
Yes, I wasn't able to report last meeting. I was absent, so I'm giving my report today. I did attend the May 1st Water Resource Advisory Committee meeting on May 1st, and at this meeting, we were given an update on the county's final draft of the on the county's final draft of the post-construction stormwater guidebook. And this is the stormwater that comes off a building. Can you hear me? Okay. This is the stormwater that comes off the building after it's finished, after it's completed construction. And our current guidebook is over 10 years old, so it's time for a new guidebook, which will incorporate new technologies. The book will give comprehensive guidance on water retention and ground and below ground infiltration systems like the one at the Oceano Elementary. The final draft is being received and will be officially launched in the summer of 2024. And they did mention at the meeting, which they stressed or emphasized, that this is the most comprehensive guidebook with requirements in the whole Central Coast, so we should be very proud of it. Santa Barbara County has looked at it and wants to incorporate some of the things that we have in this guidebook into their new guidebook that they're working on. So we should be proud of the work that is going on here in San Luis Obispo when it comes to storm water and flood control. At this meeting, we also review the 2024-25 budget, and the budget will be $3.87 million, with $3,200,000 being allocated for labor and $670,000 for operations. And they also stated that although we had a lot of expenses due to the awful storm we had last year, they were able to stay within budget because of all the reserves that they had. So the county is still waiting to be reimbursed from the federal government for a lot of these damages, and they still are waiting to see how much we're going to get. That's about it.
Any questions or comments from directors?
No, thank you.
Okay, seeing none, we'll open it up for public comment on special presentations and reports. Yes.
Good evening, April Dury. I was wondering, President Varney, if there was any report. It's been a couple of weeks, months since the last airport commission, whatever, report, and I'm wondering if there's an update of any sort.
Okay. Thank you. There isn't an update. I do not believe the airport board met again this month, but I'm not sure of that. However, I was in Colorado on vacation that week, so I wasn't available to attend the meeting, but I did not get a notification of it. Any other public comment on presentations or reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the item 8, consent agenda items. Ms. Cassiola, do you have any preference on this?
No, just for item 8B and E to be as amended, the rest can be adopted as presented.
Okay.
Thank you.
So looking for, is there any discussion from directors on any of the consent items? Yes, thank you. Is there public? Well, I think I did call for public comment on
the
item.
Consent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we don't have any more. So then I'll be looking for a motion to approve as staff recommendation.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda with the two revisions.
Second.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Item 9, business items. We'll open this up for public comment on items A, B, and C. I beg your pardon? Okay, if that's the way you want to do it. We keep flipping around. Did we do public comment before, or do we do it after? Okay.
It should always be after the staff report.
Okay, all righty. Okay, so then we'll move to item A. Your report, Mr. Schultz.
Good evening. Item A is the appointment of Peter J. Brown as general manager, and discuss and determine the compensation and fringe benefits of and approve the employment contract.
I think your mic's off. Is it?
Is it?
No. I don't see a red.
It's red now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The district's previous general manager resigned effective December 30th, 2023. In response, the district began an active recruiting effort for the position. The district board interviewed the top quality candidates and determined the most qualified candidate for the position to be Peter J. Brown. Mr. Brown is currently the Public Works Director at the City of Belmont in Northern California. Attached to the staff report is a copy of Mr. Brown's resume. Mr. Brown studied at Chico with and graduated from there with a political science degree and a minor in environmental studies, and from UCLA with a dual master's degree in urban planning and Latin American geographic. Mr. Brown formerly worked for SLOCOG and for the City of San Luis Obispo, so for a period of his career was here before he went to the Bay Area. Most recently, Mr. Brown has worked as a public works director for the City of Corte Madre and Belmont. The proposed start date for Mr. Brown is June 10th, 2024. The proposed employment agreement is substantially similar to the one executed by your previous general managers, with the primary difference being salary and revision to severance. The proposed salary compensation for Mr. Brown is $196,867, with cost of living adjustments to match that of district represented employees. Mr. Brown will be an at-will employee, meaning that the district can terminate his employment with or without cause. If the district terminates Mr. Brown prior to January 1st, 2026, the district agrees to pay him 12 months severance. Thereafter, if he is terminated without cause between January 1st, 2026 and December 31st, 2028, the district agrees to pay Mr. Brown a 6 month severance. And if the district terminates Mr. Brown without cause after January 1st, 2029, then it would be a 4 month severance. He'd also be entitled to reimbursement for 6 months of COBRA payments. The agreement that was provided in your package when the agenda was posted was amended. The changes to that, though, were not to anything of compensation or salary or any of the terms. It was just for clarification and didn't change any of the contents there. I could go through those if needed. I also have a red line for any members of the public, but they were just, as I mentioned, just clarifications to the actual content or even typographical errors. And with that, you can ask any questions of me right now, or we can open public comment. Okay.
Have any questions?
Not yet.
No questions or comments? Okay. We will then open up this item 9A for public comment.
Good evening, Julie Tacker. As a 15-year commenter at this podium, we've seen a lot of general managers come and go. I wish you well in this endeavor. From reading the resume, it feels a little bit of a force fit to me. I'm sure Mr. Brown is a nice man, a smart man, but he hasn't done this job. And I am hopeful that each one of you works with him, dialogues with him, brings him along in your visions for the district, because he's not going to be a mind reader. He doesn't have the history in Oceano to know the direction you're going, and it's complicated. The dynamics of this community have been tenuous at best, and it's a difficult position that he's going to take. If I were sitting in your seat, I personally would probably go out again and look for other candidates. I'm not going away. I am an equal opportunity critic, and as much as I like someone,
I have to hold them accountable, and I hope you will too. So as you, what's most uncomfortable for me are these severance clauses in the contract. If somebody wants a job and they're doing the job well, they don't need that kind of parachute. And that's where my issues are really with you and how this was negotiated. Because someone who wants the job doesn't need a parachute. They're going to do the job, they're going to do it well, and they're going to have their money and not have a bailout when you have to sever ties. And I've been there. I wanted my general manager to work out, but as soon as I knew things weren't going well, you have to make the hard decision and let them go. Here in Oceano, you're going to let them go with a big fat paycheck. And that's a disservice to the community.
Okay.
Good evening. As an Oceano resident, I just want to tell you guys that I'm very excited for what you're bringing to us. I hope that Mr. Brown, I do feel like Mr. Brown has clearly had an opportunity to learn what Oceano's about, what this district has gone through. I mean, we're in the news all the time. If you don't know who we are, then you really didn't do due diligence. And I think that you've gone through and selected somebody who is smart enough to do due diligence. So I honor your decision in this. What I would like to say out loud for the entire room and potential future general managers to hear is that our Hispanic community is so important, and we need a general manager that prioritizes that, that makes the Hispanic community aware of what's going on through bilingual, et cetera, through education, through outreach, et cetera. And I feel like we have not really ever had that, ever. And I hope that you help him do that moving forward. I really hope that. And I would also hope that this is not just a stepping stone for someone to come in to this position with the bigger goal of maybe getting to the county or in some way, again, using this as a stepping stone. So I hope that you thought about that before you made the decision that you made, that this would be a more, obviously you can't keep someone forever, but with the goal of a long-term engagement. I hope that that was thought about by all five of you and discussed. And then lastly, it looks like we won't have him very long before he may be out on maternity leave. So I hope you really pack him in real hard and get him really going and excited to come back once that time happens. Thank you.
Any other public comment on item 9A? Okay. Seeing none, turn it back to the directors. Is there any further discussion?
I'll start. I think Mr. Brown has impressive education and very impressive work experience. And I think he meets all of our needs, wastewater management, infrastructure rehab, personnel management, budgeting, community outreach. He's familiar with San Luis County, has worked with the county, speaks Spanish, and has experience with the 218 vote. And I think as far as, the severance package and the top dollar for us contract, that I'll say it this way, there is a price to pay for the last year and a half of district dysfunction and ugliness that has engulfed our district meetings. The district is now paying that price in the form of a top dollar contract and a better severance package for Mr. Brown. After all, he doesn't want to be evaluated six times in the first year. Those are my comments.
Well, I just have I'm going to echo Shirley. He comes very highly qualified. I have no
reservation of him being able to fulfill the duties that, you know, expected here. I'm very impressed with his resume and with his, when we met with him and everything. So I'm very happy to have him come on board and look forward to a very mutually beneficial relationship with him. So I want to thank you for applying and welcome aboard. Well, if we, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Director Villa.
Yes, well, they've practically said it all. I also thought he was the best candidate, very well qualified. I was very impressed, or the fact that he had all this grant writing experience was one of the reasons that I knew that he was the right candidate, because we need that here, being, you know, a disadvantaged community. We qualify for a lot of disadvantaged community grants, and we will now have someone that manages our district that has that experience and can do that for us. Also, I like the fact that he speaks Spanish and his people skills, so I am it's not going to be easy, because when you start a new job, there's, you know, you have to get adjusted and all that. But I do wish you luck, and I'm sure that you will be a, not a good manager, but a great manager.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo everything that was said. Thank you for applying, and thank you for accepting the position.
When Mr. Clemens retired from the general manager position and we needed a interim manager, I think that we were extremely fortunate that Mr. Ogren stepped up to the position. He was really the perfect fit for what we needed in that transitional time. And I feel the same way about our new, hopefully, our new permanent general manager. We had many, many applicants for this job. And we went through all of the applications. We narrowed it down to a very few finalists. And Mr. Brown stood out as the superior candidate. His experience in public works, in wastewater management, in capital improvement projects, his career spans many points of competency and service, and this is by far not his first rodeo, and I think that he will get on the horse and ride it and do a great job. I'm really looking forward to working with him, and as I said about Mr. Ogren, I think you're the perfect person for this job, and you will find that to be a good fit for your skill set and your vision as well. Mr. Schultz, what is our next step here?
A motion to approve the appointment of Peter J. Brown as our general manager and approve the contract that was amended and attached to.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the contract for Peter Brown as our general manager. Please call the roll, Ms. Cassiola.
Director Gibson?
Yes, and welcome aboard.
Yes.
Director Austin? Director Villa?
Strong yes.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yahoo. and Mr. Brown, would you care to make a comment? The floor is yours.
President Varney, Vice President Joyce Sunnison, and members of the board, it's a pleasure to be here this evening, and I am equally, if not more so, excited about this opportunity for our partnership. And while we have been speaking and writing and interviewing and discussing things for several weeks, months now. I'm familiar with you all and what your perspectives are, and so I appreciate your comments and about how you came to your decision. I'd like to just spend about 1 minute on the public comments because what I see, my role here is an important one as the new general manager. And the first comment about is a difficult job, and I realize that. I didn't pick this job because I thought it was going to be easy. I picked this job because I care about the community, and I think this is a great opportunity for me in my career and for the community to come together to improve our infrastructure, to improve our relations with one another and with the community, and really to turn over a new leaf and begin things anew. The staff that I've met with and corresponded with is top-notch, and so it's my job really to come in and help them continue to succeed. I'm here for the long term. I don't plan on using this role as a stepping stone. And I agree also in looking at the demographics of the community, having my mother emigrate to the U.S. from South America. La comunidad latina es muy importante para mí y yo quiero estar listo para sus necesidades. So I'll be here to help the Latino community and to listen to what they're after. So that's it for my comments, and I look forward to June 10th.
Welcome. Okay. All right. We'll go to item 9B. Are there public comments on item 9B? Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have the presenter here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we're going to have a presentation by One Cool Earth.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. President Varney, members of the board, and item 9A, we have three items for your consideration. One is a presentation by Catherine Rod Taylor Craig of One Cool Earth. So thank you for being here. And she's going to review last year's work done at the Oceano Elementary through their Earth Genius program that we've sponsored since 2017. I'll give a preview of the two other items. It's just one is a proposal to help fulfill our requirements with our Prop 1 grant for the stormwater project. One Cool Earth has also been put that together so that we can fulfill the education and outreach requirements. And that would be out of the water fund, and it would be reimbursed through the State Water Fund Reimbursement Program. And it's already been ran by the State Water Board and approved and eligible for reimbursement. So we'll go over that after Catherine's presentation. So with that, let me get that going for you, and you'll just let me know when you need next slide.
Okay.
That works.
Great. Thank you everyone for having me here tonight. I'm excited to see you again. I've presented to you in the past. Again, my name is Catherine Ronsweiler-Craig. I'm the executive director of One Cool Earth. And tonight what I'll share is I'll give a bit of an overview of what One Cool Earth does, of what our organization is comprised of, and then I'll talk a bit about our work at Oceano Elementary School this year and some of our waste and water education and what we hope to bring in terms of watershed education with the new stormwater project. So, all right, so One Cool Earth's mission is we create school gardens to grow happy, healthy, smart youth. One Cool Earth currently is partnered with 25 schools across San Luis Obispo County. So we are as far north as San Miguel and as far south as Guadalupe. And our program, when we partner with a school, we either build a garden from the ground up, or we are taking an existing garden that's at that school site and revamping it and getting it growing and really using that outdoor garden as a classroom. So a space for kids to learn in an outdoor, hands-on way, teaching the concepts of science education, and bringing in the three pillars of food, water, and waste. So those are kind of the three pillars of our curriculum, and engaging students in a way that's very hands-on, very tactile, exploratory, and meeting the needs of the school's science curriculum. So the history of One Cool Earth, we were founded in 2001 by a man named Lionel Johnson, whose initial project was really reforestation of our community, so growing seedlings, growing California native plants, and planting them throughout the county. He brought that work into schools and started building school gardens, and that's kind of led us into the direction where we are today, where we have a model of bringing this program to different school sites across the county, engaging kids in a really hands-on learning environment. So happy. You know, our school gardens are so much more than just a space to, you know, for kids to learn about things and concepts. It's really, it can be a very powerful environment within a school community to have a garden on campus. We've heard from principals that they actually have seen a reduction in behavioral issues on the day that our garden educator is at their school site, and as well as an increase in attendance, which is really promising. It basically is showing that kids, when their garden educator is on their school site, they want to be at school. They want to behave so that they can participate in that programming. And, you know, we believe that the part of the reasoning for this is that some kids may not thrive within the four walls of the classroom. Traditional academics doesn't fit every student. And when kids are getting outside of the classroom and are able to engage in a different type of learning in a different way, their skills are valued, and those students are able to really thrive in this environment. So we see a lot of positive social, emotional development by having school gardens on school campuses. Healthy, so another, you know, core aspect to our programming is getting kids to grow food and eat that food, and we see, you know, positive impacts of that. Kids that are, you know, begging to eat things like raw kale straight out of their garden, you know, that their parents are shocked to hear that they have that kind of impact, because when they're growing that food, they're so much more likely to eat it, and the kids, you know, kind of peer pressure can also support that trying new foods and creating this environment that's really fun, low pressure, and a space to be able to really explore new foods and develop a healthy relationship with eating. And, you know, as we see that this is something that's very much needed. We have a big health crisis in our community of children experiencing health issues as relating to food choices. So having garden spaces that are discussing these topics is really important. All of our garden educators are trained as CalFresh advocates, so when they're working with the parent community of their schools, they are sharing information about CalFresh and food assistance programs and getting them the right resources that they need to get signed up for that benefit. We found that this is a really low stakes way for us to get the word out about that kind of benefit to families that are in need of it, by having a trusted member of the school community, our garden educators, be the kind of advocates for that program. So another important aspect of our programming. And then SMART. So as I mentioned, we're basically turning these outdoor spaces into a classroom and really using these spaces to teach the next generation science standard curriculum. And really, if you're not familiar with that curriculum, what it really is all about is using discovery. So it's less about we need to know this concept. It's more about how do we learn that concept? What are the skills that are needed to understand science? And we use the garden spaces to teach those concepts. And we bring in our kind of those three pillars, like I mentioned. So food being one, watershed and water education being another, and waste education. And we use the school garden as a space to explore those concepts, to and engage in that scientific process. So we're meeting the needs of the school teachers. They're needing to teach these standards and requirements, and we're doing it in a way for them that's really engaging, really fun, and getting kids outside of the classroom, which they, of course, enjoy. So our program, we have kind of two levels of programming. We have the standard program, which is our educator is at a school site one day a week. That's the program we have right now this year at Oceano Elementary. Our educator is at that school site one full day a week. She is teaching anywhere from 3 to 6 classes a week during that school day. And then maintaining that school garden, so making sure that the space is thriving, growing, has all sorts of plants and things like that available for the whole school community to use. The garden is open on the days that she's not there, and teachers are getting out and using that site. Our standard program also includes 2 community work days per year, so facilitating families coming out to the garden, getting a chance to work with their kids in the garden and build that community. It also includes green team coordination, so I'll talk a bit about what our green team is, but essentially our green team is where we have student leaders that work in the lunchroom and teach their peers where food waste should be going. All waste should be going, so recycle, compost, and landfill. And then that green team takes their food waste out to their school garden and composts it in the garden. And then that compost goes directly back into the garden. So I'll talk a little bit more about Green Team and our waste education program, but that's happening right now at Oceano Elementary. And then we also do a field trip for all 3rd grade students to San Simeon Coastal Discovery Center. So all of those children have gone out this year to San Simeon and gotten a chance to connect the lessons that we're teaching during the school day to a field trip. And we talk a bit about marine debris prevention, so how to reduce our marine debris that's going into our ocean and waterways with that connection to that field trip. And then our program also includes a family cooking night, so we put together kits that families get to take home. And then the educator leads a virtual family cooking night where the families can prepare the meal together, and the kids are there with their peers on Zoom making food together. It's a really fun way to engage families in cooking and eating from the garden. We have a number of optional add-ons that schools can choose from. Some of those are ones that I just kind of mentioned. We can kind of breeze over those. Like I mentioned, this year we're at 25 schools across San Luis Obispo County. Our program is growing as well. We're looking like we're going to be at 35 schools next year. So we're really seeing that this is becoming the standard of education across the county, having garden education present at all schools. We'll be at over 70% of our elementary schools next year. So at Oceano Elementary this year, we, as I mentioned, we had our standard program there, so we had our garden educator there one day a week, and she distributed 32 pounds of produce, so that's 32 pounds of produce that were getting taken home by kids, brought to their families. There was much more food that was consumed and eaten in the garden. She taught 94 lessons. And about a third of those lessons are focused on waste education, and about a third of those lessons are focused on water, and a third of those are focused on food. So your support has allowed us to be able to provide that education to those students. And then we hosted 280 taste tests. So we really try that anytime kids are coming out to the garden, they're getting a chance to eat something, whether that's as simple as harvesting, a carrot from the garden, getting to consume it, or preparing a full meal right there in the garden. We have, each of our educators has a cooking kit that they can set up in the space and prepare food and a full-scale meal for the class. We also conducted a campus-wide waste audit this year. So what this does is we have the custodial services will collect all of the waste from a full day at the school site. And then our garden educator takes that waste and the following day, and each class comes out throughout the day to help sort that waste and identify how did the school do? Did they, was there a bunch of composted things that shouldn't have been in the landfill that were in there? How was the recycling? You know, it's very eye-opening for kids to get to see the actual waste that their school is generating. And kind of laid out in front of them. We take a big tarp, lay it all out, and the kids are actually put on gloves. We have little, you know, trash picker uppers, and they're sorting through all of that waste. And then at the end of the day, you know, weighing that waste, and at the end of the day, our educator will make a big announcement to the school and say, you know, here's the numbers from our waste audit, and we're, you know, here's how we're doing in terms of waste education. And then making those connections of, okay, what do we need to do to improve? Like, how can we take this to the next level in terms of using our school as a living laboratory? Like, how can we look at this school site as a way to learn how we can make better practices in our waste from the school? Go to the next one there. So, yeah, so Waste Week. So we host our waste audits over the course of a week. And in addition to the audit, we also have a bunch of fun games that kids can play. So they get like a bingo card, and they can fill out that bingo card. And it basically includes different tasks that they can do around their home or at school. So it's things like, you know, helping their parents take the trash out, or labeling their cans at home. Setting up, you know, we try to make it very simple so that there's something anyone can engage in, but also have, you know, the next level, really bringing what they're learning at school and bringing it back to their home so that they're teaching their families about waste as well. So students got a chance to complete that bingo, and we have prizes, and it's kind of a fun, you know, gamified way of engaging kids in that waste education project. And we do a big kind of big campaign around Waste Week, where we're having lots of fun activities and things like that, and sharing our waste audit with sort of other schools and things like that, because we've got a bunch of schools now that are all doing this at the same time. And then, yeah, of course, and then also during that week we have a waste lesson that ties into that they're learning during in their garden classroom. Can go to the next one. Green team. So as I mentioned before, green team, students are gathering that food waste that's coming out of the lunchroom. They're teaching their peers about where things should be going. We really look at this as a student leadership opportunity. So kids are getting the chance, you know, we kind of train them. We get them set up with what they need. They get fun vests that they get to wear in the lunchroom, and some special swag, and then they're the ones that are telling their peers, and it's really awesome to see these kids tell, you know, no, that doesn't go there, it needs to go here. They're much more likely to listen to a fourth grader telling them that than a teacher, right? So it's much more successful if we can have the students really being the ones that are the leaders in this. And one of the things that we're seeing is the more that we start this and make this a part of the school system, you know, that this is how we deal with our waste in schools, it just becomes normal for them, right? It doesn't have to be something that we have to teach constantly about. It's just, this is, oh, you have compost, that's going to go in the compost bin, and we can compost that in our gardens. So it's just becoming a normal part of the school culture. And now that we've been at Oceano since 2017, we're starting to really see that culture shift within the school. You know, we have kids that have been through from kindergarten, and they're, you know, this is a part of their school community. I thought I had a slide on Watershed Week. No. I'm missing a slide. So another part of our programming is our water education, and we're really thrilled to have the opportunity to support the stormwater project that's happening at Oceano Elementary. This is such a cool learning opportunity for the students there to be able to learn about this watershed project that's on their campus. Really exciting to see that that's happening. And we would, you know, be thrilled to basically tie that into all of the lessons that our water education we're already doing. It's kind of, you know, we're already set up for it. We already have about a third of our lessons focus on water. And the proposal that I've shared with you would basically have our director of education look at those water lessons, learn a bit more about the watershed or the stormwater project, and create tie-ins, create visuals, create opportunities for those students to, you know, explore it, view it, and really tie that stormwater project into our curriculum in ways that, you know, are engaging and make sense. And similar to our Waste Week, we also do a Watershed Week where we focus all of our kind of attention on watershed education. We have a really fun, all of our educators get a watershed model that they, we do quite a bit of training on them where we teach them, we take our educators and teach them how to use this model. We've been working with the Morobay National Estuary Program for this training. And they've also provided us with these models that we get to use at our school sites. And I think this is a really great opportunity to tie in the stormwater project into that model. There's, yeah, engaging ways to bring that model to life. And if students can see that it's happening right on their campus, mm-hmm. that this stormwater is actually, you know, replenishing their waterways on campus, it's very engaging and really brings to life a lot of the curriculum that we are already working on. So we'd be thrilled to be able to make those tie-ins to allow for students to do that. And with that additional funding, it would also support us to go to the premium program. So we have we would be able to have an educator at that school 2 days a week and double the amount of lessons and students that we're seeing in the school garden. So we'd be thrilled to be able to offer that, and we're already there working with the students and would just be like an additional kind of tie-in and doubling the number of lessons that we get to teach. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and love coming here and sharing about our program.
Thank you. I have some questions.
So Mr. Schultz, should we take questions from the board at this point or public comment?
Questions are fine at this time from the board before you do public comment, and reserve your deliberations and comments till after the public comments.
Okay. So, Director Gibson?
Yeah, let's see. So, do all the students participate at the school at one point or another or various
yes.
times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really like your waste management lesson. I think that's a great idea when you actually see it, how much, you know, how much accumulates. So I have two more questions. Do kids eat kale?
Oh, yeah. You'd be amazed.
Really?
Yeah, we have kids coming out to the garden begging to, can you please pick some?
Oh, great. So what do they like to eat the most out there?
I think it's really anything that they get to eat is a very exciting thing for students.
Because they grow
anything in the garden.
Tomatoes or, mm-hmm. yeah, okay. Okay, that's good. Yeah, I really like a lot of your vision and lesson planning. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I always look forward to your presentations and see what's going on at the school. I really, really think it's fabulous. What the programs are doing for the kids, and the new thing with the water management thing is really going to be something. So, and the waste management is big, and just the fact that they're outside growing their own vegetables and stuff, that, you know, I think it's, I'm always impressed when you come. So thank you very much for
Thanks.
What you do.
Do you do anything concerning helpful and harmful insects in the garden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, you know, we talk about pest management and, you know, really look at the gardens as a space of learning. So, you know, some pests that could be in the garden that are viewed as a pest, that can really just be a learning opportunity to learn about, oh, well, these pests are eaten by this predatory insect, and so that's a food for them. And we can bring in these, you know, different predators and literally thinking about the garden as an ecosystem is a very important kind of learning tool. So yes, we do have actually a whole lesson on beneficial insects as well as predatory insects and how to manage those in a way that's healthy.
I just have one question. I saw a statistic there that was very concerning to me, and I was wondering if that was something for low-income communities. Is it throughout California, throughout the nation, where it said 4 out of 10 will develop type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, this is for the state of California.
Well, that's very concerning to me, especially knowing that Latino community, you know, has a significant amount of diabetes, and diabetes being the second cause of blindness in the nation.
Yeah, it's a real problem and something that that you know we shouldn't be taking lightly. It really we do need to address a lot of the health concerns that our communities are facing, especially
young
children.
I hope that you have like bilingual education.
Yes.
And things going out to the parents to where they understand the severity of diabetes, the debilitating consequences that it can have, and that statistic. I don't know if they're aware of that statistic. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's scary. And yes, that's a big part of our programming is providing that education to families and also resources. So not just saying, here's all these challenges, but here are resources to help you feed your family. Because it's not an easy thing to solve, and it shouldn't really be just on the individual family. It really should be a community effort to address
yeah.
these issues.
Yeah, and I hope the state and the federal government like offers you some grants for that education, because it will save the money, you know, monies in the future when you have people that are on dialysis who you know on no limbs because of the diabetes or blind.
Yeah, we do have a couple of public health grants. That
I hope
we do receive.
That you continue getting them.
Thanks.
I'm a little confused on the field trips. In your handout, it says that you there are two trips for 50 students. But I think you also said every student goes on a field trip.
Every third grade student. So at this this current year, it's all third grade, and that's it depends on we kind of round to 50, but it's however many students are in the third grade level.
Okay. All right. So basically, every third grader gets to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then on the this new add-on in terms of the water recharge, so this is a one-time funding event, right? You'll do something on this for the next school year or for the rest of 24 and the first half of the school year in 25.
So the school year is fall of 2024 to spring of 2025.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. And so that's when you'll be doing this specific education on the recharge project.
Yeah. I mean, I think the proposal that we have there would be, one, to support our director of education to adapt the lessons that we currently have to focus on stormwater. So that's kind of a one-time thing that needs to just happen once. If there is funding to continue to support stormwater education year after year, I'm not sure how the funding is set up for you all, we could continue to teach that year after year. But basically, the one-time need it would be to adapt those lessons that we currently have to tie in your stormwater projects. It'd be things like creating visuals, creating add-on extension activities for our current lessons so that teachers could develop more, that type of thing, tying in some of those lessons. Like, for example, one of our lessons, we look at basically a small model of kind of what you guys have built. We have a take rainwater barrels and put them on. We have one at Oceano with a barrel with the off of the shed. So we're capturing rainwater from that, from their school garden. So we would be able to look at it on a small model and then look at it the big model. So kind of comparing and contrasting those. And there's a lot of different ways of tying that in. Mm-hmm. So we would have our director of education make those tie-ins, and then the execution of those lessons can happen year after year.
Okay. I have some familiarity with water education for elementary school students. And I know that some programs kind of base it on two questions. Where does your water come from? And where does your water go? Mm-hmm. And if you ask most kids that, they go, well, like it comes out of the tap and it goes down the drain, right? Mm-hmm. And so that expansion of their understanding of kind of the whole water system, and obviously variation by age level, I think is something that would be really valuable in our community as, I mean, the South County is in a major regional planning, water planning stage right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, you know, how you would incorporate that in, but a sort of a broader concept. And there was, I maybe have something more to say about that after we get public comment. I need you to help me out with the numbers that you have here, because I'm not sure what they mean. You say that there will be 7 lessons taught at Oceano, and I'm not sure if that means there are, with 3 to 6 classes per lesson. So doing my math, that's like, and they're 2-hour sessions, so that's 14 hours that the teacher's in the classroom, but you're billing $5,040, which is $360 an hour for that teacher. So I know I'm not getting this right.
Yeah, so it's 7 lessons of our, curriculum, 7 of those lessons are lessons that we've identified that could tie in the stormwater project. Mm-hmm. Those lessons get taught in courses of series. So basically, the way that it works is a teacher will sign up for a series, and it's not, the lessons aren't just taught consecutively. They're taught, like we have one lesson in one series and another lesson in another series, and they're taught throughout the year. And then our educator is teaching usually 6 classes per day. So they're teaching 6 classes per day, those 7 lessons, throughout the year.
Okay. I get that then. Are there any other questions from?
Is it all third graders?
It's the whole school. The only thing that's just for third graders is the field trip. Okay. So we do a field trip where we tie in our waste education with, we talk about marine debris, so prevent, you know, with connection to litter. So, you know, if we are littering our campuses, that litter gets, when we have a storm, you know, we'll go into our waterways and that storm then will take it out to our oceans. And so we connect that marine debris prevention with our oceans. And so we bring students out to San Simeon Coastal Discovery Center, which has a really wonderful field trip program that they work with those students. And we actually have a part of that is kind of priming those third grade students to then go into green team. So our green team is fourth grade. So fourth graders then are the ones that are those student leaders teaching their peers where their waste should be going on campus. Okay. So it kind of builds on each other.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And all the second graders are waiting for third grade, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, so everyone is receiving our lessons. I should, right. Yeah, right. Just making sure that's clear. Everyone at this school is coming out to the garden throughout the year.
Well, and as you know, every class at Oceano Elementary School is getting at least 3 field trips, some of them 5 field trips to state parks, mm-hmm. based on the $16,000 grant that OCSD got to fund school field trips
oh, that's
for students at Oceano Elementary School.
That's incredible. And, yeah. Yeah.
Is the San Simeon project, is that on your list?
The sixth graders are going to Hearst Castle.
Oh, okay.
That's as close to San Simeon as they get.
Because that would be a great place for a field trip.
So I'll take public comment on this item. Speaking of field trips at Oceano Elementary School.
Yes, our field trip. Mm-hmm.
My name is Wanda Monson. Catherine, very nice to meet you. As a member of Five Cities Optimist of Grover Beach, we've had an opportunity to work with One Cool Earth. And so one of our goals with Five Cities Optimist was to work with a health and wellness program. So we applied for a $500 matching grant, and our club, you know, had posters and, I'm sorry, a sign put up, and we purchased some fruit trees, and then we received the grant to be able to help purchase plants and flowers and half wine barrels for the students to do some planting. And we've also had the opportunity to do a garden day, two events, just to clean up the area, do some planting, painting tree stumps so that they could sit. That's their outdoor classroom. And tonight, Oceano is having its virtual cooking night. So they received all of their food packages, and I understand that there were some packages that didn't get picked up, and my grandson was looking forward to getting one, and it was so popular there weren't any left. So, but anyway, it's been wonderful. You know, the parents come out, the staff comes out, the students come out, the educators, they play music, there's snacks. We had a great time. And so we just applaud all that One Cool Earth is doing, and very happy to be a part of what we were able to do to make some of these projects happen. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We can have.
Do we have a? Do we make a motion on this, or do we?
Are there any other? Mr. Schultz, you suggested that after public comment we have more.
Any deliberation on each and every item?
So this one, there's no action that's needed, but if there's any other comments.
Oh, no, okay. No, I think it's wonderful, so I'm very happy to support this.
Yes. I believe I do need action for next year's proposal for Earth Genius, and then if we'd like to do the stormwater add-on, so that would be coming out of the water fund for $10,000, and then, $10,000 out of the garbage fund for the Earth Genius program, which was what Catherine reviewed, and then $10,000 for the next year out of the water fund, and which will be reimbursed by Prop 1 grant funds, and that would be for $7,000. So those are the two actions we would need tonight if we want to move forward with next year.
Well, let's start with the first action.
Of course.
Okay, which is the
Earth Genius
program. Okay. So.
All right, I'll make the motion that we approve this proposal for the Earth Genius program for $10,000 from the garbage fund.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And President Varney?
Yes. Okay, then moving to the, I can't remember how
the
that, this
proposal
was
stormwater
titled,
cap-
the Stormwater Education,
Capture.
Yeah, Stormwater Catchment. So, Ms. Cassiola, I wasn't real clear on your explanation. My understanding is that this money was earmarked in the grant for community education on the project.
Correct.
Okay, it isn't necessarily geared to educating the students at Oceano Elementary School, but that's what is proposed here to use the money for.
Correct.
And this is all the money that's available.
Correct. There is a match, but that can't be fulfilled with a contractor that'll be matched with staff time. So preparing agenda items, getting the invoices paid, obviously the grant reporting, which is done quarterly, will be that will fulfill our match easily.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then I think I'm going to propose that we use some of this money for community education in the form of a trifold pamphlet on the basic, I mean, where does it come from, where does it go kind of question to inform the community about the water issues that we face, what we provide, and the issues that face us as a larger community in the South County around our water issues. I mean, I think it's important the community understands that our water comes from underground, our water comes from Northern California, our water comes from Lopez Lake. And that is something that I think could be tied into the, certainly could be used in the curriculum for older children. I think in just looking at the budget, I would propose that the $1,710 that's allocated to curriculum development, which is looks like, I mean, adaptation of existing curriculum, that we take that 710 of those dollars to support the development and printing of a educational flyer on, you know, the Oceana Community Services District and water management, which would leave $1,000 for curriculum development, which I would think, since it's a matter of kind of fitting it existing curriculum into presentations, probably can be done for that amount.
May I ask a follow-up? So that's to the whole community that flyer would be sent out to?
I wouldn't say it'd be sent out, but it would be a resource that we can use in, it could be included in a billing, you know. I know that has a pretty large cost associated with it. I was thinking it would be more, that's something that could be, children could get a copy of it to take home with their parents. Of course, we would have it bilingual. You know, I don't know that $710 would, how many that would cover the printing of, but I do think that we should reach out a bit more, use this resource, this one-time resource, to develop an educational outreach material for the community for some of this money, especially since this is just one-time money.
Okay, so I would bring back a quote for a trifold about education for the kids to bring home, and then I would need to get that approved by the State Water Board. So I'll bring it. So I'll do all those steps and then bring it back to you for approval.
Is there no discussion about this?
We need to discuss.
I'm like confused.
That was the president's idea. I'm not sure.
I was just trying to get in my head how I would do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I'm just bringing that up for discussion. I'd be happy to make an emotion, but I don't understand
the
State Water Board.
Who's going to design it? How much?
Well, I'm not really in favor of flyers, only because when my kids brought home something, I didn't find it for 3 weeks. It was on the closet floor, so I think a lot of times flyers get tossed. And I guess the other thing is, I mean, why guess at how much it will cost? And you know, you'd have to know exactly what is on there, and would it really cost that much? I don't think we have enough details.
I think it's adding another layer of work to
and
the
I guess
staff.
The other thing is, why is not... What Cold Earth is doing, why is that not sufficient?
The grant said we needed to dedicate 7,333 funds to education outreach. So then the One Cold Earth was going to do the program there at the school with probably going to make a little flyer thing, I would imagine, in some of that. Is that something that's going to happen anyway?
You're planning to do it?
Yeah, we can certainly do that. It would not be a big deal for us to include a flyer that could be sent home with the students. The other thing that we do is not just a physical.
Sure.
We could put it in our. We send a monthly
newsletter
home to families. It's physical, but also virtual copy. That it's part of the school, newsletters, and so that we could include information about the project in that as a way to connect those. And those get read by parents because they have to read about all the workings of what's going on in the school site. So it wouldn't be a big deal for us to include some information about the project as a part of that.
That's a good idea, and I think to not make it complicated and muddy it up, just put it through with them to do that. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple like that. I don't think if you try to make another flyer, then who's going to design it? It's just when they have the resources and things to do that.
Right. Well, if One Cool Earth wants to take on that project, that's fine by me. But I'm looking for something for the entire community, not just the project at Oceano Elementary School. This is about water in the community of Oceano, water we drink, the water we treat, an overview of, we talk about watershed for the entire community. So it's broader than, that's just a little piece of it. So are you saying that you would be willing to work on that?
And,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we have a whole team that is very comfortable with making flyers, and we could, get it approved by you that it's the accurate.
Something we could have here on our counters for people when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as a money-saving cost, instead of sending it out through the mail, we could put it on our website, obviously. Oh, and then we also have those that receive e-billing. We have all their emails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the fact that One Cool Earth has a newsletter, mm-hmm. that it will be more educational, because I do believe that what Shirley says is true, that the flyers end up in the yard, the dog ate them, they never get out of the backpack till a month later, or if at all, it'll be something that most parents probably will at least glance at the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confident that you will have a summary, a concise, nothing too complicated, because people, you'll lose them. So.
Well, I'm looking at this as an educational tool for the community, and that it needs to have enough information so that people understand the basics of where their water comes from and where it goes, and what the Oceano Community Services District provides for them. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be, what's your timeline for developing this outreach piece?
We could probably do it by the start of fall.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So there would be plenty of time for you to meet with our new general manager and myself to talk about, share some ideas about what would be probably most important.
Yeah, we would definitely want your input on what should be on there. So we wouldn't just be
right.
Want your,
right.
And I think in general, in adapting our curriculum, we would also need that too. Of learning more about this project and how it ties into the goals of what you're aiming to teach.
That sounds great. That's great. That addresses my concern about larger education for the community. So then I'm good with supporting the entire amount.
So we'll move to support the stormwater capture and groundwater recharge project education, $7,000 from the water fund. I move that we adapt that.
And I'll second that.
Director Austin?
Yes.
President Varney?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Vice President Joyce Sedison?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Our final business item is the review and consideration of the draft initial study and mitigated negative declaration for the waterline improvement project. That sounds like a lot of government gobbledygook, but I know that Ms. Cassiola will put it in ordinary language that we'll all understand.
No, that's correct. President Varney, members of the board, 9C, we have the review of the draft initial study for the mitigated negative declaration. So it's the ISMND. So this is for the district's waterline improvement projects. So the water resource reliability program that the district developed with Prop 1 and Prop 84 funds put together a list of 29 projects to replace undersized and aging pipes. So the district has been pursuing USDA funding to fund all 29 projects, and they're all in a priority slot of like priority 1, 2, and 3. And a part of the USD funding requirements is that you have to do an analysis of the implications for the project related to factors. And one of those factors is obviously environmental factors. So your board hired Rincon Consultants to prepare the ISMND. And this has been prepared in accordance with CEQA, so that's the California Environmental Quality Act. So the required review period is 30 days. So it opened May 1st, and the final day will be May 31st. The notices were filed with the County of San Luis Obispo, the Tribune. We also have it posted on your district website. The document is over 450 pages, so there is one printed version right there, but I highly recommend viewing it online because you can search words that pertain to your particular interests. So today we've set this here. It's not really a hearing, but it's so people can give public comment verbally, let's say, instead of giving it written to Rincon, and we can do that with your board or the public. So with that, I guess I'll turn it back to you for any comments, questions, or concerns with the ISMND.
Directors, I'm not seeing anything.
I don't have it. Well, I'm not sure you want us to give public comment on.
So,
I'm not following what.
So, for this hearing, really, no, there is no time because it'll come back to you for
right.
your final approval.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you could make your comments. This
right, because we have right. to.
This is specifically yeah. to the code, says you have to have a public hearing to just receive comments in case they don't want to write it to Rincon. So Rincon would review this and see if there's any public comments that are oral, and then they would actually translate that, because what comes out of it is all the comments that they receive, either written or oral, they have to respond in the document that you'll get at the final time.
Right.
And then that's your time to deliberate, review
okay.
it, and approve the environmental document.
Mm-hmm. And part of this work will take place in the coastal zone, so there are other issues with that are covered, I believe, as well in the report.
Should be in the report.
Yeah.
I certainly haven't reviewed it.
So this is part of the routine process of capital improvement projects to assess the environmental impacts and develop plans to mitigate any problems. And in this case, the situation is such that there are no significant environmental impacts according to the consultants, I believe, and that's why it's a negative declaration.
So there are certain things that they've written about on how to mitigate it, like dewatering was one,
mm-hmm.
And those are all covered in there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to notify all the cultural resources, which we've done that, so there's ways they've mitigated it, but there obviously are concerns with dewatering and things like that.
All right. Okay, so we'll take a public comment on item 9C, the mitigated declaration. Yes, Mr. Brown.
President Varney, members of the board, one thing I noticed in Ms. Cassiola's staff report, because you're looking at federal funds from USDA, that triggers the NEPA requirement, the national version, right, the National Environmental Protection Act, which is the federal version of the CEQA. So I know RINCON has looked at the ISM&D. One thing that I would suggest staff and the board consider is syncing up the NEPA and CEQA process. I noticed the staff report talks about coming back later to discuss NEPA, but there is a way to address both at the same time because they both have similar steps. I know RINCON has done that plenty of times, so that might be something to look at, clearing both NEPA and CEQA together as you move through the process. Okay. Just a suggestion.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Then we're looking for a motion to approve item 9C.
Is it? We don't need it.
All you would do is
receive and file.
And just close the public comment is all you need to do.
Oh, okay.
No, no motion, no notice.
Okay, okay. So we've closed public comment. We'll move on to hearing items. We did not have any hearings tonight, so there's no public comment on that. Number 11, received written communications. I did not see any. Number 12, late received written communications. Don't believe we received any of those. Future agenda items?
Yes, I have some.
Okay, Director Gibson?
I was going to ask for an update on the water tank, but is that almost complete, or?
That's what he told us.
The water tank is, the welding is complete, and now they have started sanding it and covered it to start painting. Okay. The end.
Could we just put that on there for update, like the budget and, you know, various aspects?
Just a review of the water tank?
Yeah.
So
maybe some pictures.
Pictures
during the process?
Yeah.
So we'll, you'll.
So that's a pretty nice little project.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're proposing to put this on the agenda. You'll need a second.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe put it in Tony's report.
And that's true, too.
Instead of making an agenda item, just put it.
Okay.
Can we ask for that, to put it in?
Sure.
Tony gives a report on Tony's report, maybe?
Okay. My next one is to have a discussion about inviting David Swift. He's a professional engineer. He presented a PowerPoint to the TAC committee and to the Zone 3. And after participating in the CCB, the Central Coast Blue Project, he was really interested. And so he did an analysis of Lopez. And it's really very interesting. And it's, you know, it's informational and it's, you know, not for or against anything. It's just, you know, information. But it's very interesting. I think people would enjoy it.
What is analysis of Lopez?
Of Lopez,
water project out there?
Just Lopez in general. Like, for instance, in his research, he found that during one of our serious droughts that we were releasing a lot of water from the dam, which, you know, didn't make sense, but after he investigated, he figured out that was because they were doing repairs on the spillway. So they had to, you know, release some water. So just interesting thing.
He was at Zone 3? Is that?
Yeah, he was at Zone 3, and then he made a presentation at TAP.
What does he do? What is his?
He's an engineer. Okay. I think he just was interested in water, you know.
Okay,
and then I've got two more.
So you're proposing to invite David Smith to do a presentation on Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Swift, right?
Yes.
Swift.
To this board.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
That'll be on a future agenda.
Yes. Whenever it can be fit.
I suggest that you can discuss that with Mr. Brown.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next.
And then next, I want to discuss the board writing a letter of apology to Steve Chu.
Steve Chu.
Could you explain, please?
One of the
candidates, and we were very late, so I think he deserves an apology because he didn't really receive one.
I would suggest not having that as an agenda item if that's something that you know, we need to reach out on a personal level to correct something.
Well, who would do that?
Well, I think the president of the board could do that.
Okay. All right.
I don't think it needs to be an agenda. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then my last one is that I think there are some issues with the track and accepting funding, and I would like to find out what the process is for Lucia Marr to receive those funds. And then I also think there is a problem with Ecologistics because they are essentially a special interest group. It's not like they're Save the Whales. It's more that they involve themselves in political situations. And they were participating in the Dana Preserve issue, and that was, a very big issue with two opposing sides. And I don't think that our district can be seen to be involved with politics in any form. You know, we have to stick to our services, water, garbage, lighting, O-Park, et cetera. Sewer.
I don't know. I don't think that needs to be put on our agenda either. I think you could bring that up when the report comes
I think we need to withdraw our application to Ecologistics because they are a special interest group.
Well, we can discuss that when.
Where does it stand with the application?
The report, the committee reports, and then we could bring that up, right?
Is that
doesn't need to be. We've submitted the application based on your approval to do that, correct? Has it gone in?
No, I've sent it for red line for review.
Okay, so the application has not been sent in, but you gave approval to send that application in. Certainly, if there's a board majority that wants to reconsider that, they could. But if not, then the application would be sent in, and then we'll hear back from that, and then we would negotiate the contract with them for approval. You did give approval to me to do that contract, though, so it is moving forward. After the contract is approved, though, then there we could, you know, look at the process and their involvement in the fundraising. Because they certainly, as I understand it, have many different roles that they play for raising money. Maybe they're just the holder of the money. Or do you want them to be active in events and organizing fundraising events or whatever? So, the issue is I think Director Gibson is looking to see about revisiting that issue and whether there's board members that want to support revisiting that issue of whether we should be sending in the application or holding off on the contracting negotiations till they are. But that wouldn't be up for deliberation. It's whether you just want to agendize that again for discussion.
Well, on their application, I believe that they point out that they take that 6% to use, about environmental issues. And, the Dana Preserve is an environmental issue, obviously, but we can't be associated in any form with a special interest group. And I'd also like to have, if it's on the agenda, to have our new general manager weigh in on that.
And so the issue is understood. Again, like I said last meeting, it's a future agenda item, so you can't deliberate it and go back and forth because it's not on our agenda. So I believe Director Gibson has properly advised what she wants to put on the agenda and discuss. So the question is there a member that wants to support that?
Well, yes, I think we need to, after listening here, we don't really know about Ecologistics. I think we need to study that more before we do get involved with something that, since we're government and, I don't know that. I'd like to know more about them.
what they do. What do they do with the money? And is it, you know, we take money from people? I just want to make sure that OCSD is not doing something.
So
that,
you support it. That's all we need. We don't need an explanation because, again, it's not on the agenda. So
if it can be done when we bring it back, when we're talking, I just want to talk about it
further.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that I mentioned is finding out what the process is for Lucy Amar holding those funds, because they're, I mean, this is 6%. That's money, okay? And if Lucy Amar doesn't charge, why are we not doing that? I mean, we have to look at, you know, the dollars and cents.
Okay, you're getting into the discussion here, and let's just cut it off.
You got the second. You got the second,
and
it'll be placed on a future agenda item.
Yeah. Is that it? Director Gibson?
For me, yes, thank you.
Okay. Director Austin? Yes. Director Villa? Director Sunnison? I have one item to put on the first, our June 10th, is it 10th meeting? I'm not
When's
sure.
What's our next meeting?
12th. June 12th. And this will be South County Regional Water Management Update. I'm meeting with the head of Public Works next week to discuss regional water management, and have a couple of other meetings as well. So I'll have some updated information to share with you all. Future hearing items. We have no closed session coming up. So without further ado, boom, adjourned. Thank you.